Is my mic on? Episode 74. What's wrong with Orny Adams? I am surrounded by things that went wrong this week in my life. It appears, expect nothing to go right anymore. You're on your own in this lifetime. There's no more customer service. There's no more care from your fellow humans. You're on your own. And everything is going to go wrong. I mean, do I talk about the custom stickers I ordered and what went wrong there? Can you imagine what went wrong there? How about the shirts I ordered online from a store? What arrived? What was wrong there? Everything is wrong. Even Cheez-Its. What's wrong with Cheez-Its? Now they have extra toasty? Was anybody complaining about the toastiness of the originals? Were they not crunchy enough? I'm going to try one for you right now, okay? Look at them. Extra toasty. Yeah, they're extra toasted, but there's the same crunch. Nobody was saying, hey, Jesus, come on. Cook these things some more. They're undercooked. I might get some salmonella from the originals. These, to me, all they look is burnt. I think Cheez-It is selling us seconds. That's what I suspect is going on. Cheez-It, and I'd like an answer. I really would like an answer. What's wrong with Orny Adams episode 74? God, Cheez-Its are great. They really are. I don't know why we have to have so many varieties, so it's out of control. It really is. Want to hear all the different Cheez-It varieties that they have now? In case you're like me and have trouble making just basic decisions in your life, there's a million different ones now. So you want to have a panic attack buying Cheez-Its? They're setting it up for you. They're ready for you in the aisle. I don't even know. Is Cheez-It in the snack aisle or the cracker aisle? I don't even know. Well, here it is. Ready? Here it is! Cheez-It, extra toasty, which they got me to buy. Original, which I was fine with. There's also low fat, which I sometimes get. I don't know if it makes any difference at all. I'm sure there's so many chemicals offsetting the actual fat. It's probably better to get the actual fat ones. There's extra big. You want a bigger Cheez-It? Just put more in your mouth. There's extra cheesy, extra toasty. There's grooves, puffed, snapped, Parmesan. I had some of those the other day. There's a slight difference. There's Duo, which mixes the original and the Parmesan. And then there's snack mix. Cheez-It, why can't you be on my side like Nationwide? Why not?
Every year when they renew their car insurance, 9 out of 10 policyholders stay with Nationwide. And they have reasons, like fair rates.
Nationwide is on your side.
Reasons.
Everybody's so excited about their car insurance, they're singing about it.
Nationwide is on my side.
And most claims.
This is from 1976.
48 hours after proof of loss.
Look at this guy in a VW bus.
Nationwide.
A woman, sorry.
His side.
Look at this couple.
Reasons. Like many money saving discounts.
Nationwide.
The kid's in the back of the station wagon. This guy's in a Porsche.
Car insurance.
The woman's in a Porsche. This guy's in a.
Nationwide is on my side.
So compare.
She's in a Rolls Royce, that old lady. Everybody's so excited about their car insurance. It's on their side.
Year after year, auto insurance is part of our blanket protection for your family.
I didn't even know it was
Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide. I do it a third time. I just keep going. Nationwide is on your side. They have been
for just
feeding me this load of bullshit. How do I make this smaller? They have been feeding me this Nationwide is on your side my entire life, I guess. My entire life, I have been hearing this commercial. And it wasn't until I started like mocking it that I was like, what are they selling me? And it's car insurance. And they're on your side. The insurance keep on, they're on your side. No insurance company is on your side. I'm going to start calling this segment I'm doing, not my sponsors. Because I got a problem with all these people. Cheez-Its and Nationwide. And I'm about to go after Life Alert. So brace yourself, Life Alert people. Because I want answers from all these companies. Cheez-Its, I want to know, what's the deal with the extra toasty? Are they indeed seconds? And I want to know from Nationwide, how are you on my side? You don't... Your company trying to make money. You're on the side of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. It actually sounds like something that you would say to somebody that's about to jump off a bridge. Like that. You know, don't, hey man, don't do it. Don't do it. People love you. Nationwide is on your side. I see you're driving a car right here. I assume you have Nationwide. They care. Call them. Call them. It's absurd. It's become absolutely absurd. I'm tortured by content, and there's too much content, but I wish I could just shut it down. Like, if I watch TikTok, it's the most unfulfilling 5 minutes of my life. I mean, I don't know what I just watched. I don't feel good about myself. I want to curl up in a ball and cry. And I can imagine what it's doing to the younger brains. That's what I worry about. But when I watch commercials, I don't know who writes these commercials, who casts these commercials. Whoever wrote Nationwide is on your side. That they deserve the Academy Award. It said Ogilvy and Mather was the advertising agency. They deserve an Academy Award because they're still using that campaign. It hasn't changed, but it's like a cult. Generations of people have grown up hearing Nationwide is on your side. And I'm here to say, Nationwide, please tell me how you're on our side. Please, please. Now, this is a Life Alert commercial. I'm going to put this up on the big screen. I don't want to give away. Let me roll it all the way back here. Because I'm watching this commercial. Now, we've watched this for years, right? This is the famous, I've fallen and I can't get up, lady, right? And we all laughed. Meanwhile, there's some serious danger with these old people they're in. These old people getting hurt. You got a better chance of hurting yourself walking to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So I'm watching this commercial, and I thought, they shoot it very campy, very like low budget. And I thought, something bothered me. I'll walk you through it. Ready? Okay, there's an old lady in the shower. I don't need to see this, to be honest with you. Her shirt's off, but you don't see her breast. Now she's reaching. She's dizzy. She grabbed the shower curtain and she's fallen. She has fallen. What's going to happen? She's covered in the shower curtain. She needs a life alert button. This woman has the button in her bathroom.
I've fallen in the shower.
I can't get up. Where's the line?
Help! I've fallen and I can't get up.
This lady's in the kitchen. She's fallen.
And on the go.
Help! I've fallen in the park. And
this guy's on the ground. He's on the ground.
Help is on the way.
Now this, I'm stopping it. This is what bothered me. Look at this guy. I'm rolling it back. Look at this guy. Listen to his voice and everything. He's like a model.
Don't worry. Help is on the way.
Don't worry. Help is on the way. Don't worry. Help is on the way.
Park and I can't get up.
Don't worry. Help is on the way.
This guy's a model. Look at him. Look at him. Perfect jawline, beautiful skin, full head of hair. He's in shape. This guy is not in any world working the phone banks at Life Alert. Sorry. He's an Instagram model. Maybe he's a waiter or I could see him as a bartender making $1,000 a night in West Hollywood or anywhere in Hollywood. This guy is certainly not going in, putting 8 hours talking to these old people that are in dire need of medical assistance. And here's the other thing. A lot of these old people, they're probably hitting the button just to talk to this model. You got to have people that look like me and me, moderately good looking and under. We're the people that should be answering the phone lines. I want to see what's really going on at the Life Alert phone bank. I suspect it's somebody sitting there with a bag of, or the Cheez-Its. I don't know what variety. Maybe the Parmesan. Stuff in their face just waiting for the phone to ring. But it's not this guy. So that takes me out of... I don't buy this product. I don't believe in it. Because this guy right here. Look at him. Look at this guy. He's not working. He's not working at a phone bank. This guy... Good looking people like this don't have real jobs. Okay? They go, no, I'm too good looking to work 9 to 5. Answering the phone. This guy, he could be a lawyer, own his own hedge fund. This guy's out on boats on the weekend. Good-looking people don't work jobs like this. This is poor casting. I give this commercial a fail. My unsponsored life alert, I give a fail. I say you reshoot the commercial and you put me in there. And then I talk to the old, I've fallen and I can't get, ma'am, where are you? In the shower, are you? Please cover up. We're sending in the medics. Please, please cover up. So much to go over. Let's talk about, I should have just fired up yesterday. I was so fired up. I've been emailing starting yesterday with Sticker Mule, this company that I ordered stickers from. I waited. First of all, I had a design made. I was going to unveil it on this podcast, maybe on this episode. I was going to have a premiere of the new Orny Adams design and campaign. I'm having t-shirts made. It's like, you know, I put a lot into this, a lot of thought into the design. This is something I mentioned on the podcast. A lot of people gravitate towards it. At my shows, I talk about it. And I was so excited. And I had stickers made. And they were supposed to arrive yesterday. And I was waiting to order the t-shirts because I wanted to see what it looked like in print. You know, I hired a graphic designer. I've gone back and forth. Actually, I've gone through two or three graphic designers trying to get this design correct. And I finally got it right. And when I design, we're moving things a quarter, like so small. Like I make such adjustments on my graphics. Like it's not easy to work for me. I know that because I want it perfect. And I want, if I'm going to sell something, I want it to be right. My fans deserve the best. And also it's a challenge. I don't do anything. It's why I don't exist. I can't exist in this world where nothing goes right anymore. SC. Since COVID, nothing goes right. You get takeout orders, the wrong items are in there, and nobody cares. There's no responsibility. I ordered shirts from, I'll say it, Saks Fifth Avenue. Okay? I ordered shirts. This brand Theory. I like it. This is for the stage, okay? This shirt, looks like a t-shirt. It's $95. It arrives yesterday, and there are holes in it. There are holes in it. I'm holding this up to the camera. I don't know if you can see it. There are holes. There's holes. Where is it? I'm sticking my head in here. Where? Can you see it? Here it is. I can see my hand behind it. Look at, there's holes. There's a hole. Where the F? How can I show this to the camera? There it is. See it? See it? See that hole right there? There's a hole in it. Can anything go right? Now I have to return this. I have to ship it back or I have to go to Saks and return it. I have a to-do. And I'm sick of the to-dos. I've been emailing with customer service at Sticker Mule because I ordered the stickers. I ordered stickers. I ordered coasters. I ordered pins, like really cool items. And you know what arrived yesterday? Somebody else's items. They sent me this place, which is a pastry shop in Maryland. I got all their stickers. I got all their goods. I'm not going to say the name of it, but I assume they got my stuff. This is a privacy issue. And I sent this nasty email to Sticker Mule. I said, hey, I'm furious. This is a breach of confidentiality. These aren't for public consumption yet. We're not unveiling this campaign just yet. And now somebody else has my goods. And what can you do about this? And they wrote back, we'd be happy to ship you new ones. Just throw out those. Which means they told somebody else to throw out Orny Adams' stickers. Casually, my art, my soul. Just throw them out. And we'll send you new ones. Or we can give you a credit for Sticker Mule for the price of what you paid. A credit? I expect, and they did not address the privacy issues. And the fact that I needed the stickers this week. They didn't address any of that. I wrote back, I would have expected, as a business owner, more I've heard only great things from people that use your company and your products. I assume this doesn't happen often, but it happened. So you should overnight a new batch of stickers and pins and coasters and other items that I ordered custom. You should print those, ship it overnight. I'd also beef it up. Instead of sending me 100 stickers I ordered, I'd send me 200. I'd send more pins, more coasters. I'd really let the customer know we care. This is the first time I've ever ordered with them. Then I would refund me for what I paid. And I'd also give me a credit to try this experiment again. Well, they came back and they said, well, we'd be happy to either refund you or we can fulfill the order and we'll give you a $50 credit. And I said, could you please escalate this to somebody over there? Because this is absurd. You're still not addressing the privacy issue. The fact that you sent my stuff to somebody else, which is not cool. It has my name on it. I also have this. I've now been to this site of this pastry shop in Baltimore. And I've looked at their website. Actually, it looks pretty good. I might order from it. But I have their stuff. It's just not cool. But again, SC, since COVID, just expect everything to go wrong. Order t-shirts, expect them to show up with holes in it. Order stickers, expect them to, you know, not even show up to get somebody else's. And them not to even be like embarrassed. Like I would do everything to make this right. Everything. But they just, nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. You can't enjoy any aspect of this life at all. I'll talk about this now. And I'll put this up on the screen too for people that are watching the videos. And thank you to everybody that is, you know, I want to thank all my listeners, all the people that are listening to this podcast, the new people, the Teen Wolf fans that tuned in last week to hear Holland wrote in and loved it. I want to thank the people that pass my content along, whether it's my podcast or my stand-up videos, the people watching More Than Loud and Takes the Third. I want to thank you. I want to thank my Patreon subscribers. Okay, the people that subscribe and pay as little as $5 a month just to get the video ahead of time. We're about 10 episodes ahead of what ends up on YouTube. I want to thank everybody. And also, you can subscribe to this podcast at, You can send me emails directly and I read all of them. Okay, I can't respond to all of them. I have some here that I may read because I got a couple of touching ones this week. But you can email me at whatswrong@ornyadams.com. whatswrong@ornyadams.com. And you can go to teamwhatswrong.com for everything. If you want to know what the Patreon is, if you want to contact me about anything, you want my YouTube page, it's all there nicely for you. But you can't expect anything to go right anymore. Expect to be frustrated in every aspect of this life. Okay, went out to eat. It was a business lunch, and I went to this restaurant in Los Angeles. I don't want to say the name of the restaurant, but I'm putting up on the screen right now the receipt. So we ate at this Italian restaurant. I'll give you some of the prices of what we paid for. A house salad was $15. Another salad was $17. We had chicken wings, which were $22.25. We had a Capri cutlet, which is a chicken cutlet, which was $21.75. We had corn agnolotti, which is a pasta, which was $21.50. I had iced tea. The other person had some beers. I had a cappuccino at the end. The bill came to basically $130. But that's not what the bottom line said. It said $166.55. Now, why is this? Well, there's tax, $14.45. Tax is over 10% in Los Angeles. They added, and this is in bold, 18% service charge. They added $23.20. Now, is this a tip? Well, you scroll down and it says suggested tip. And then this. Please note that the name of the restaurant, and you can go on Reddit and figure out which restaurant this is, adds an 18% service charge to each guest check. The service charge is not a gratuity and enables the restaurant to provide equitable wages to all of our employees, including hourly and salaried front and back of the house team members. Importantly, it's still going. I didn't know I was reading a book. I thought I was going out to eat. 100% of the service charge goes towards our team members' wages. If you choose to leave a gratuity, the suggested tip amounts go directly to our hourly staff working today. It is our belief that every hourly employee contributes to your service and overall guest experience. Thank you for coming, Exma. Well, I would agree with that. I would agree that with equitable wages that everybody deserves probably to be paid more. But I'm confused. So we're paying 18%. What? Since I'm paying your employees, I'm part of their wages. What am I paying them? I'd like to know what they're getting hourly, because I'd like to factor that in for the tip. So once you tip, okay, once you tip this $130 meal, let's say you give 15%, you're now paying $185. You've paid $55 in service charge and tip. And then on top of that, there's tax, or that includes the tax. But what is the meal paying for? What is my $22.25 chicken wings? What is that paying for? Are you going to have a service charge for your lease? For the rent? Is there a utility service charge coming? Is there, I know some restaurants in Los Angeles are doing health insurance service charge. How about a vacation for the employee service charge? How about somebody's dog got sick service charge? How about delivery for the food? Like what? It used to all be included. These charges, these add-ons, it's got to end. It's got to end. I will not go to this restaurant. I will not support this restaurant. And I don't think we should support these restaurants. This is disgusting. Make the corn agnolotti 18% more. I'll decide if I want to dine there based on that. Okay? Because I know what you're doing. We didn't see this on the menu. It's on the bottom of the menu. Well, nobody's scrolling around. Who's reading the fine print on a menu? Nobody is. This is designed to confuse us, much like Cheez-Its and all the varieties. And it's designed to trap us. It's a con. Okay? Make the agnolotti 18% more and pay your employee. How about this? You pay your employees equitable wages. Don't depend on us and add it like it's a gratuity. Okay? We're not in charge of paying everybody in your system. We don't have to pay for your heat. We don't need to see an itemization of your expenses. This is disgusting. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I feel conned. And to be honest, the food's okay. Just okay. It's good. I enjoy it. Been there a couple of times. Will not go back. But, you know, meatballs are $19.50 for three meatballs. It tastes like, by the way, you get meatballs at IKEA for $1.99. Pretty good. No 18% service charge. It's misleading. That's what it is. And it's not fair. Okay? Nobody, and they're doing it in this like, oh, you know, the employees need to be paid more. Ever since COVID, SC, we're now in charge. You got to tip everybody. We got to equal the playing field. Well, this isn't our responsibility. You got to figure out a way to make your meatballs for $18 or $19.50 and pay your employees. It's not my job. I don't sit there like you don't come to my shows and I say, like, I'm going to Houston in a couple of weeks. I'll be there March 31st and April 1st. I'm in Houston. I'm at the Comedy Riot. I hear there's a great history of this club. It's where Bill Hicks used to perform. Well, it's the Final Four weekend, the NCAA basketball Final Four, and hotel rooms are three times the price, and my flight was three times the price. Now, do I charge a service charge? Do I now pass that on to everybody in that show and say, hey, there's a service charge now because I only had to pay more to get... No, I absorb the cost. I absorb it. And moving forward, you know, if I want to make more money, I increase the ticket sales. But they're doing this on purpose because they know if the corn agnolotti is now 18% more, people may not dine there. But I'm sick of the charges. So two people went to lunch, had a decent meal, a decent amount of food. Somebody had two beers, which were $10, and it was $185. $185. Do you want me to, hey, owner of the restaurant. You want me to, how about a service charge to have your Porsche detailed? It's out of control. It's out of control. They've got to make it so this should be in the door. We have a service charge for 18. It should be there with the rating for the health department. I'm so sick of this. Shit. Damn. I went to Florida. I got to play you this. This is great. This is me on Jones & Company, the radio station down there. First of all, I landed in Florida. This is bizarre. I go into the bathroom, and I guess, you ever see these, like, needle, receptacles where you can, I think it's for people that are doing drugs. But in Florida, in the bathroom, they have these disposals. It says, place sharp items horizontally, lift a shore disposal. Okay. Well, in it, there's a few $100 bills. And it looks, I mean, I just landed. And I got to tell you about this landing. I'm trying to wrap this podcast up and make it 30 minutes. I'm failing already. I'm at 27. But I took several pictures. Look at this. There's a $100 bill. And from what I could tell, I didn't want to get too close to this thing, but I got pretty close and I zoomed in. They're real hundreds. But why would somebody put $100 bills in there? Are they trying to tempt you to stick your hand in and get poked by a dirty needle? Are they tipping the needle person? Florida, help me understand. You're Florida. You do things differently. You think differently. We know this from the news. Anything bizarre happens in Florida, okay? I couldn't even land in Florida properly. What happened was, we're coming in for the landing. Wait till you hear this. Coming in, we're flying from North Carolina. I'm on a connection flight. We're going into Sarasota. The plane is about to hit the runway. Like, you're going 3, 2, and you're waiting for the, and you're so excited to land. The plane, I go 3, 2. I mean, we were feet away from touching the runway. The plane shoots back up, shoots right back up. Fast, almost like I know this sounds obnoxious, like a private jet goes, or leaving Burbank Airport, right up, and just keeps going. And no pilot came on. Nobody came on and said, hey, we've got, we missed the runway. There was nothing. We have a mechanical problem. Maybe the wheels didn't go down. And it must have been a good 3 to 5 minutes. Some of the longest minutes of my life before the pilot came on. And this is a record. I recorded it when they came on. And everybody's freaking out. Everyone's looking around. All you've heard on the news is that lately people are, there have been several almost near collisions on runways and all this sort of shit. And the FAA is investigating here in America. This is the actual recording of the pilot after they finally came on. And it's a rough recording. I'm going to turn it up, but it's a little bit, it's hard to hear, but you'll hear my reaction when the pilot says what happened.
And we should be touching down here in about 5 to 10 minutes. Sorry for the inconvenience, but then again, it was also loose traffic on the...
Listen to how calm he is. Oh, we'll be... The guy missed the runway. The guy just shot up and kept going. He wasn't even like turning around. I thought, did we go to the wrong airport? I think he probably missed the runway. There could have been traffic on the runway. There's something wrong with the landing gear. We lost an engine. He came in too fast. These are all the things going through my head. And then everybody starts discussing it. This guy waits 5 minutes. How about an FAA rule that if something goes wrong, you come on right away? Comes on. Oh, well, again, sorry for the inconvenience. What inconvenience? And he had announced right before this that there was traffic on the runway. I call bullshit. I really do. Listen to this.
Should be touching down here in about 5 to 10 minutes. Sorry for the inconvenience, but then again, it was also loose traffic on the runway. Thanks again for your patience.
Traffic on the runway.
Why did it take that long to tell us that?
That's everybody discussing it. Yeah, you can't. It's really hard to hear, but that's everybody discussing it. The guy's all calm and cool. It took 5 minutes to come. Like, if there was traffic on the runway, he'd come on right away and go, hey, listen, you know, there's traffic on the runway. We had to abort. We're turning around. We'll be on the ground in a minute. I don't believe we were given the right information. I want to know, are pilots allowed to lie to the passengers when something is wrong. Because that's what I feel. That's what I feel was going on. I'm going to play this, and we're going to wrap this up. This is me on the radio in Sarasota, Florida. I was working at McCurdy's Comedy Club, and I've been playing this club. Putting this up on the big screen. I've been playing this club for several years now, and every time I go there, ticket sales are better and better. Well, guess what happened this time? Completely sold out. Four shows sold out. One show on Saturday, every single ticket was sold out. What does that mean? If there's a table, like three people bought a table, and there was one seat available at that table, a single person bought it. In fact, the club told me that groups of, like a group of four came in and each bought an individual table, seat at a table. So they each, four of them came as a group, but they sat at four different tables. And I thought, this is really cool. I've sold tickets, but this is, I feel like something new. There's a new energy. Something's happening. And so, of course, I go on the radio and I get cocky because I notice the club treats you better. Everybody's nicer to you. And so I said to Les McCurdy, he's the owner of the comedy club, McCurdy's Comedy Club. It's one of the best in the country. It's independently owned. I love working for these independently owned clubs. Well, some of them, some are a little, but Les is great. And Les is a friend, somebody I talk to all year. In fact, my parents text with Les. My parents are fans. They like that Les runs a comedy camp for special needs kids. And Les is always recommending restaurants for us because he lives in Sarasota. And he's helping my parents get a rental for next year because they go down. My parents were at these shows and they got to see something that I'm glad they got to see. And that's me in a market where the fans show up with gifts, knowing the bits, screaming, you know, enthusiastic. And my dad, we went out for breakfast the next day and he said, I didn't realize how much work this is, what you do and the energy it takes. And it's not just the show, it's the meet and greet afterwards. It's the selling the merch, eventually selling stickers if mine ever arrive from Sticker Mule, that will happen. And my mom, and they brought a group of friends and they were able to see and really, I guess it's cool to have a moment in your life where your parents really understand you. And that's what I felt happened in Sarasota. I felt like it was a new level of them getting what I do. And I thought, this is really cool. I'm really fortunate to have had this moment. And, you know, we discussed the show a little bit. I actually gave myself a B+ on the show. I didn't think I was on, but they loved it, which they loved. In fact, my mom came over to the merch table and she was just, with the Jews' sake, felling. And she thought that was just so wonderful. And I said, B-. She goes, oh, come on. You're not happy? I said, I'm not happy. I can do better. I didn't make the connections I needed on stage. I was thinking too much. But it was cool. It was cool. And then we spent a couple of days in Sarasota, did some really cool stuff with my parents, went to the botanical garden, which I loved. I talked about in the last episode with Holland, where I got yelled at for getting too close to the glass with my glasses. Tom almost touched the glass case with the tip of my glasses when I was pointing. I got scolded by security. I always get scolded at these museums. And then we went to the Ringling Brothers has a house down there. That's where this all started. And toured that in the museum there. Really wonderful time. But this is me on the radio. Always getting myself in trouble. I just can't be content that I sold tickets. I have to come after the club owner a little bit. This is me on Jones and Company Radio in Sarasota, Florida, 2 weeks ago.
Have you ever seen Les ever been nicer to me?
That's true. That you're absolutely right.
Let's get up and explain, Les. Please tell the audience how a club owner treats the acts when they sell tickets versus when they don't sell tickets.
By the way, Les has got to be one of the sweetest ones. Yes. But this is behind the scenes, guys.
This is, here we
go. Yeah. Well, it depends on what percentage of the ticket sales you take, Orny. You know, if you're taking 90%, I'm grumpy. Okay. I'm grumpy.
I'm not that greedy.
No, please.
Next year, yes.
Oh, damn it.
Or you'll see me at the Van Schmeckle. What is the...
Don't you go to the Van Weasel.
That's the theater across the street.
Don't weasel on me.
My parents saw Mandy Patinkin there last night. Yes. And my dad calls me. He's serious. He goes, Mandy does this thing in the middle of the show. It was interesting, and we all loved it. He had us all stand up at one point and do the hokey pokey. Now, if you thought about doing this during your show, no. I don't think he was kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
I think my father's now that out of touch that I'm going to stop my stand-up routine and do the hokey pokey. And then he goes, I was thinking, is it really just that simple, or does it really mean something else? And I'm like, what do you think? It means sex?
Dirty hokey pokey.
This is like after I just barely landed in Sarasota last night.
Yes.
My dad is, writing my act for me.
He has 2.1 million views on his special he did a while ago. Meanwhile, your dad's impressed with Mandy Patinkin's Hokey Pokey.
Well, if I want to sell out the Van Schmeckle, or whatever it's
Van
called.
Van Weasel.
The Weasels. If I got to sell out the Weasel, I got to come up with my own Hokey. Maybe I'll do the Charleston. Everybody stand up.
Yes.
Everybody. We got some hats we're going to pass around. We're all going to do the Charleston.
There you go. That's me on Jones and Company, 107.9 in Sarasota. I have so much to talk about that I didn't get to on this episode. I'm going to get all that stuff on the next episode. I want to talk about the Torn documentary. I want to talk about this guy, Aaron Fotheringham, Wheels. He's an athlete that performs in a wheelchair. It's unbelievable. It's so inspiring. The next episode is going to be inspiring. That's what I've decided. I'm going to read some fan emails on the next episode. This one is from an 64-year-old man. His name begins with an N, who just lost his father, and he found solace in my stand-up comedy, and he reached out to me. And I'll tell you why I'm doing this, because in life you get so beaten down, and you focus on that. You focus on that, and sometimes we forget, all of us, including me, that we're touching people's lives. I also got an email from a professor at Michigan State University. That's where there was a mass shooting recently. And she discovered my comedy in that time too. I'll discuss that on episode, that'll be 75, right? Of What's Wrong with Orny Adams. On the next one, for sure. I just want to say this, because this has been a grossly negative episode. And I think that is what's wrong with Orny Adams. The world, I'm getting sick of complaining. If everybody could just go back to work, everybody just get out of their house. I want to start implementing. I'll talk about this in a future episode. How we had stay at home during COVID? We had a lockdown. I'm calling for a locked out. I think we need to force people to leave their homes. This means no more food deliveries, no more takeout, no more work from home. Everybody out of their houses 8 hours a day. Mandatory. We can track you. Get out. Be healthy until anxiety goes down and production goes up. I'm calling for a lockout. Everybody out of their house, including me. Including me. Get out of your house. Get out of your head. That's what needs to happen, because productivity is down and pride and workmanship. You know, what's going on with the sticker mule or these t-shirts? Like, nothing goes right. Nothing goes right anymore. And you spend all day, fighting these people. Fighting these people. You know, I called about the shirts arriving. I didn't want to get into it. But I realize when I'm at a museum and I look and I see a painter like a Van Gogh doing a self-portrait, I think, why? This guy knows other people. Why is he painting himself? And then I realized, if you want anything done right, you got to do it yourself. So I figured, like, Picasso's like, hey, Renoir, come on over, buddy. Paint me. And Renoir, and he hates it. And he goes, you know what? I can't. You know what? If I want a picture of me, I got to do it. And that's what I'm saying. In this lifetime, we're all painting self-portraits. Why? Because if you want anything done right, I'm telling you, if I want stickers done right, I'm going to have to open a sticker company. If I want anything done right, why do you think I do everything? Why do you think I run all these cameras? Why do you think I edit all this stuff? Why do you think I edit all my videos? Why do you think I post everything? Why do you think I'm doing everything? Why? Because if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. Why do you think I'm on top of my webpage, on top of everything? Why do you think I book my own travel? Why do you think I book my own getting to the airport? Why do you think I do everything? Because I'm painting a self-portrait. If you want anything done right, don't leave it to the other person. Do not leave anything to anybody else. And that's what's sad about this world. This world has become, you're better off figuring out how to do it on your own. You want graphics? Yeah, you can hire a graphic designer, but if you're like me, you're better off learning some graphics program. And that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching myself everything, and I'm going to have a GD heart attack. Because I'm tired of it.
What's his name, Kev?
Arnie. I'm tired of fighting what I shouldn't have to fight for. And everybody writing me saying, hey, listen, lighten up. This is me lightening up. This is me getting it out. My general disposition is happiness. I'm content. There was a lot of emails after, I think, episode 72 telling me, hang in there or whatever. I don't mean, if I sound, this is, you know, I'm exaggerating. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering this audio. I don't know why I have to think about that word every time. You know, SC, since COVID, I have to think about more words. I was on the Adam Carolla podcast. That was cool. I was on a podcast with Bert Kreischer. That was cool. And listen, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do this podcast more frequently and, you know, not go on and on for like an hour and 30 minutes. So this one's about 40 minutes. Let me know what you think of this as a format. And again, everybody, I'm telling you, I know this sounds negative, but if there was somebody else in here, I'd be laughing at a lot of this stuff. And that's my message to you. Episode 74, What's Wrong with Ernie Adams? Laugh in the face of adversity.